Lisa. I've started the Zoom meeting. I just want to test and make sure you can hear us and have you unmute and speak and make sure we can hear you.
Thank you, Cindy, for getting me the Zoom link, and I'm on board.
Perfect. I can hear you. Can you hear us?
I can.
Perfect.
You won't be able to see me, though.
That's okay. We'll acknowledge that you're on Zoom, and you can just go ahead and stay muted unless you have something that you'd like to say.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you.
Well, with Lisa, we have a quorum. Should we start? All right, we'd like to welcome everyone to the work session of the City Council meeting for March 6th, 2024. And our first item is Karen Baxter's going to take about 5 minutes and talk about the 20. Okay, how about 55 minutes? Go ahead.
Mayor, while she's starting, I failed to mention that Todd Godfrey will be late tonight. He may not be here till 7. So.
Oh, okay.
But he's coming.
The clicker is not working. All right, so we're going to do a work session on the capital facilities plan for fiscal year 25 in preparation for the upcoming budget retreat. So our five-year plans include streets, water, and stormwater, and tonight we're just going to cover fiscal year 25. We'll have kind of a summation of the complete five-year plan for you for budget retreat. So the proposed fiscal year capital facilities plan includes the following projects. We provide this kind of a table because many of the projects aren't strictly streets or water. And so what we'll do is combine, for example, a waterline replacement and a street reconstruction for obvious reasons. And then there are some that are just asphalt replacement or just stormwater. So this year we'll be doing 150 North, Nancy Way, 850 North, 900 North, et cetera. But we'll go through them one by one. So the first project is the 150 North Waterline and Street Reconstruction Project. This is the street that's directly north of Hatch Park. We have been waiting a really long time to replace this waterline with the pending Hatch Park improvements and the houses so that we don't end up with water services underneath the road that then have to be abandoned in the future. This waterline installation will be done by the North Salt Lake City Water Crew. And we will prepare for those service changes to Hatch Park, removing the houses and making new services into the park. We'll then do a full asphalt replacement. This project will start this summer, so it will begin in July. And so as you can see, the houses there on the north, you can see some of the, south side of the road, north side of Hatch Park. All of those house services will be removed. This is what that road looks like today. And you can see why it's on our list. So we'll be really excited to get the new asphalt in. The second project is Nancy Way Waterline. This will be a water replacement, a full asphalt replacement. This is the completion of the Lacey Way project. So you can see where the new asphalt stops going up Lacey Way. We have already purchased the waterline parts. We have enough money in the remaining budget from that project to include the waterline installation. These were the original plans. We stopped at the top of Lacey because weather was catching us. What we don't have right now is any remaining budget for the road. So this year we're requesting budget for new asphalt. So we will finish the waterline installation and then repave the road. It's in needed condition as well. The next one is 850 North, 900 North, 950 North, and Madison Lane. This is the area, this is just south of 1100 North. You can see where US 89 and 10th North cut across. This is an older area of town. This will be a full waterline replacement. This project will be done by the city crew as well. This one will be a standard fiscal year 25, which means it will be done in the summer of the following year, unlike the earlier one for 150 North. So this will be next summer. Again, you can kind of see the area we're working with, and this is the condition of the existing streets. So the next one is Coventry, Freedom Drive, Freedom Circle. This is a continuation of projects that we've already brought to City Council as part of kind of a budget planning process. This one will be waterline replacement, new storm drain, and full asphalt replacement as well. This particular project is primarily about the canyon that's occurring there along Coventry. So there's a natural channel, a lot of people will call it a draw, and all of the water from this area discharges into that channel. It is not a river. There's no natural river that flows through that ravine. There are no storm drain pipes in these roads currently. All of the pipes, all of the inlet boxes drain into the ravine. So you can see the photo on the left. That's kind of the low point where you come down into this area. And the inlet boxes that are shown in the top picture on the right, on the road on the edge of it, those feed straight down into the ravine, kind of to the upper left of that photo. And this is a photo of that channel in the ravine. And the idea is really, really common when development occurred at the time these were built back in the 70s. But this is the condition of the road. So again, we'll be doing new storm drain line, new water line, putting it in. And this is the condition of the ravine. So as it's scouring, all of that water ends up down into our detention basin. If you see the box in the bottom right corner, all of the mud that's filled in around it, we have to clean out. The slots we've cut in the side are where the water's supposed to go in and go down. And these photos were taken today, actually, during runoff. So you can see kind of what our stormwater and our public works crews are dealing with. The ravine is not in good condition. As you know, my pictures are progressively worse. They were all taken today. So you can kind of see what we're dealing with and why we really need to divert the storm drain. So the project includes storm drain that will divert it, run it around, and bypass most of the storm water that's going into this ravine. So only a small amount will continue to go in here, and most of that will be that natural channel flow. Wendy? Thank you. So the next project is the 900 North water line. This is 900 North in the industrial area. So this is between Redwood and 400 West. This is a water line replacement and a full asphalt replacement. Most of the pipes down in our commercial industrial area are either cast iron or AC. So AC is that asbestos cement that we had on Lacey Way that blew up over and over and over. And as it reaches a certain age, it no longer functions. One important thing to note about 900 North, it is really the only connection in between Redwood and 400 West as a bypass for 1100 North or Center Street. We have lots and lots of heavy truck traffic in this area. This is the current condition of the road, and it's universally like this all the way up. The only part of the road that's anywhere good condition is the Weber Basin Waterline Trench Patch that's shown on the right of these pictures. No, I have nothing. Oh, it's back. It's back. I can see it. Can the council members see it? Great. So the next project is the Main Street widening. Last year we brought in a Main Street project that was a grant project. This is a continuation that's being done in conjunction with that. We will be widening the street and doing a full reconstruction, or really a construction. We'll be installing new curb and gutter and sidewalk. We're going to do some railroad crossing improvements, and it will be a full reconstruction of the road from the bottom up. Main Street right now isn't straight. You can see we're missing sections of curb and gutter. The road narrows in some places. The asphalt is in really poor condition. Lots of patches, lots of settlement, lots of block cracking. The railroad crossing has really significant issues. Anyone who's ever driven across Main Street knows that the road and the railroad tracks do not have a matching elevation. So in addition to that, the road is incredibly narrow over these mainline tracks that cross at a very oblique angle. We can't fix the angle, but we'll be able to fix the road construction and that crossing to really improve safety in this area. This is a grant project. The total cost of this project is almost $3.4 million. The total cost to the city is less than $250,000. So this is one of the surface transportation project grants that Allie applied for. We take this to the Wasatch Front Regional Council. We have a second grant that we funded last year that is the area in between I-15 and Pacific, and this is specifically Pacific to 10th North. The reason it's not going all the way to 11th North is we don't need to do any work in the intersection there. The next project is Windsor Drive, Windsor Court, and Ascot Drive. This will be a full asphalt replacement. The road's in poor condition. We have some issues with water and soils down there, and the asphalt's just aged out. So this will be a remove, replace, and repair of any soft spots that we may find. The next project, Cynthia Way, it's similar. I would note that if you see the bottom of the picture, Cynthia continues past. That was part of the fiscal year 24 budget. We're coming down Cynthia to Dorothea, and this year's budget will be doing Cynthia from Dorothea down to Valley View Drive. The asphalt in this area is in very poor condition and needs to be replaced. The next project is the Center Street sidewalk. This project includes, we're gonna do basically a new mixed-use path on the south side of the road. It'll connect to the new projects, not at 190 East, but at 130 East, my apologies. And this will be moving the bike lane and the pedestrian access up out of the road on Center Street, which I'm really excited about. So this is a photograph of the south side of Center Street looking down from Orchard. You can see that there aren't any pedestrian facilities currently. And this is a schematic. It's not final, but this is the current version of what's being done at the proposed loss at North Salt Lake, which is the development that goes on either side of 130 East. There will be a mixed-use path behind the curb, which allows for on-street parking. Note that on this photograph, we will be changing the east side or the right-hand side where the bike path goes back out into the road, and it will continue up behind the curb. So this is kind of the view of how we think it will look. The top one was the rendering done by the developer for their portion of it. And you can see down below kind of the idea we have. It's kind of a hybrid. The view on the left shows the pedestrians and the bike on the outside. That will be what we'll do with some furnishings in the middle. So whether those are garbage cans or planters or benches or a combination of all of those, we'll leave to Sherry and her brain. So this is a TIF grant. This particular grant is written for a 15-foot wide concrete sidewalk / mixed-use path. The total project cost is $576,000. We have a grant for 60% of it. The city matches 40% on any TIF grant. I would note that this cost estimate was done for the entire length of the project. If you see how I marked the developer area in orange and the city area in yellow, the cost estimate was done for the entire length of the street. So this number will change, but I don't have the current number yet. We'll have it for you by the time budget comes in for budget retreat and adoption. So we expect that this will go down. There is a development agreement about that sidewalk in place where they, in general, will be paying for the sidewalk and will be paying for the widening that we would also like for the bike lane or something. But we'll have the correct information and not speculation for you soon. The next project is the Redwood Road West Side Path Connections project. You have seen similar ones before. This is, I am thrilled to report, the last. We will be continuous all the way up when these segments are done. So this project is to connect existing segments of an 8-foot wide asphalt path. This is also a grant project. So two of the properties of the three, one is 75 North. This is the property west side of the road, directly north of the Maverick. So we have the Maverick on the corner, and then we have the truck Maverick portion, and then this is the property directly north of there. The next is at the very opposite end, which is 965 North. This area really kind of does allow for some pedestrian access because they do have asphalt in their parking lot, but it's not really a path or a trail, and so we'd like to make the continuity and the safety and get the property acquisition done. The third property is frequently referred to as the Haddad property. This is the one with the large ditch that goes out into the wetlands. The west side of it has been developed into a play field for the Spectrum Academy. The east side of it is potentially about to develop. It's the only remaining portion on the west side of Redwood that doesn't have a sidewalk or a trail. Inquiries have recently been made for a new business. We anticipate very shortly that an application will be filed. Due to the timing of the grant and the timing of the fiscal year, we anticipate that this section of sidewalk will be deferred to the developer and will not be done by the city, which would be great. The total project cost is $284,000. We have a grant for $226,000. The total city cost is $56,660. So here is the proposed fiscal year capital facilities plan. The streets total 2.8 million, which is a larger number than we try and shoot for. The conditions of the roads and the connections with the water line. We are trying to keep to the same streets plan that was approved by City Council that John presented multiple years ago, but construction costs are rising. And so our estimates are no longer, every year, the same amount of work costs more money. We have $2.2 million in water projects. Again, the Nancy Way project will be utilizing existing budget that's left over from the original project. One thing I'd like to note, the last project on our list, stormwater improvements for $40,000, that is not at a designated location. What happens very frequently is that these particular projects, we go in, we start doing something with a water line, we replace a road, we find a spring. We find a storm drain pipe that has been broken or that has failed over time. And by having pre-budgeted dollar amounts available for those needed repairs, we're able to stay on track, keep the project moving without having to pause to come to City Council for a specific project. And the dollar amount's actually fairly small for the kind of construction work that happens, so it allows us to do these small repairs. Clearly, any major project would still be going forward. The Coventry Freedom Drive and Freedom Circle project, there are previous budgets that have been made, particularly for the storm drain work. And there's some work back and forth in really what we're doing. We've been trying to keep the projects. Heidi and I have been working at Heidi's brilliant suggestion to keep projects more current and not have trailing funds in our budgets that are rolling over from many years ago. And that is it. Does anyone have any questions about the super exciting things we just saw?
I have just one, and it's a little side question, and I apologize, it was probably answered whenever this was all approved, but is the TIF grant, is that the Main Street Pacific, I think? I'm just wondering, since the bike lane is curbed, what is the city's responsibility on snow removal for the bike lane?
So what will happen is we're moving it up. Let me go back to a picture. So what often happens, if you look in the photograph at the very top, this was their rendering, and we immediately pointed out that's not at all what we'd like. They have a curb area, and then they have a bike lane, and then they have another curb, and it goes up into the sidewalk. What we're going to be doing is something more similar to the bottom photographs, where there's curb and gutter, and then the bike lane is adjacent to the sidewalk at the same elevation. So typically, if the bike lane is in the road, then it's part of the snowplow removal for the road. And if you create a separated bike lane, with some kind of a curb or some kind of a barrier, it creates a lot of snow removal issues for public works. Our large trucks can't fit. We have to have specialized equipment, lots of man hours, and there's the expectation that the bike lane will be usable. In this situation, it becomes part of the sidewalk that is adjacent to the businesses or the property.
So then it's the developer, the property, their
responsibility. So in this case, snow removal from the sidewalk, as I understand it, in front of, for example, this multi-family housing would be the responsibility of the property management company.
Okay. Thanks.
This is really impressive, and I'm super excited to see all of this development in the city and redevelopment. I wonder if when we talk about this again at the budget retreat, if there could also be in that final graph that you had where all the projects, yes, this one, mm-hmm. if there was another column that said the grant money.
Because absolutely.
I think it is really powerful to say, look at our total that we're spending and look at how much money we're actually utilizing because we're spending it well and wisely in collaboration. I think that's really cool.
That's a great recommendation. I'll make sure to include that. Thank you. Never thought of it.
Mayor? I was going to comment on the grant as well, because when you look at the total and then you saw how much the balance at the bottom was, that's impressive. So that's a really good suggestion.
Anything else? Well, thank you, Karen. That's very ambitious, and we'll keep you busy.
We're doing our best to keep the city safe and drivable and beautiful. And we've, you know, as you're all aware, there have been these deferred costs for these roads, and we're now really working really hard to get all of these roads done in a timely manner. So we're really excited about that.
Super. So next item,
Mayor,
is just...
I apologize for interrupting. I just wanted to remind the council, the other thing we'll see in the retreat is a five-year capital facilities plan. So what you're seeing here is the next 12 months. But when we talked a month ago at the first meeting in February, the council members talked about seeing multiple years. And so this may or may not, this presentation may or may not be in the context that you'd like to see it, but we'll show you 5 years of capital facilities plans during the retreat. So thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Next item is the discussion of the 400 West Waterline and Street project. And can you want
to? Yeah, I'll start that one. Karen has done some excellent work on this project. I only wanted to say before we turn it over to her that this project is the replacement of a water line from Center Street to 1100 North, I think, almost all the way,
yeah.
And the rebuild of the road. And in our budgets, it's multiple millions of dollars to do both of those things. It's alarmed me a little bit, the heavy cost of it. And so we've worked as a staff, and Karen has done the heavy lifting here, but John and David and Heidi and I, with Karen, have worked to try to look at this project in a little different way. So we thought we'd share that with you tonight, because we think that we can extend the life of that road for a number of years, and Karen will tell you how long that we think that will be. But I think it's a responsible approach. And so as she gets into the project and you have questions, you may ask, you know, should we do this right now, or can we wait to do the water line? And I think our answer is yes, we can. But anyway, I just wanted to say that we don't think we ought to go out and borrow money to do this project right now. That's how we would have to pay for it. We don't have the funds to do it. And so Karen has really come up with a creative approach to do a very good improvement for a fraction of what was in the budget. So I'll turn that over to her.
So the 400 West project, as Ken said, included a full water line replacement. This is that same AC pipe. For those of you who are not intimately familiar with the Lacey Way history, the pipe was the miracle. This is going to be the best kind of water pipe material ever. And then it reached about 50 years old, and when you touch it, it falls apart because it becomes extremely brittle. It was also a short reconstruction, full asphalt replacement, and the intent was to do a cement-treated road base, which is similar to what we did on Main Street, if any of you saw that project. The benefits are you get a very strong, stable road, and you can move very, very quickly. This is a very busy road with a number of businesses on it, and we just don't have the luxury of something like a concrete street, which would be great for the traffic that we have, but we would be literally closing everybody down for months. And so we're going to try and avoid some of the things that we've learned from other larger cities who've done, for example, south of us, who've done these large street projects that really impact the businesses there. This was presented previously and budgeted in two sections. We had Center Street to 500 North, and then we had 500 North. I put the picture, it's labeled wrong, I apologize. Center Street to 500 North and 500 North to 1100 North. So you can kind of see from this, from the aerial, that what's happening is the seams have completely unraveled and the asphalt is collapsing. This is what that street looks like. And it's all over. And so we've been working really hard to get prepared to do this project. So last year, our intent had been to do the section from 500 North to 1100 North. We were going to do the water line in the road, half of the street 1 year and half of the street the next year. So 500 North to 1100 North, the estimate was $1.45 million for the street and $860,000 for the water line. Center to 500 North was $1.5 million for the street and $1.26 million for the water. Part of that reason is we have to bore the water line underneath the railroad tracks to replace it. So the total project cost here was over $5 million for this one street. So we had intended to bid the fiscal year 24 water line and street work. I went twice, I apologize. We did bid the fiscal year 23 project. We did a bid just for the water line work, and then we were going to do a separate bid for the street project. The intent was we could more accurately weed out problematic contractors on a project this large and this important by not having a general and then they pick the subs. So we thought it would be a great idea to bid the water line where we then could check references, et cetera, and then award the water line as soon as they're done, then the street crew moves in behind them under a separate contract. We've done that in other places and it's worked pretty well. We only received one bid, and the bid was $1.5 million, and our estimate was $860,000. Now, that happens for a couple reasons. Material prices have increased. This was the year that prices jumped 30%, as you may recall, in all construction across the board. And if you don't have a lot of people looking for work, prices go up. If we had 12 bidders, a couple of them were going to be pretty low because they're looking for work. That was not the case. So we had planned to bid it a little differently for fiscal year 24, because now we've pushed that northern half of the road yet another year. So our intent was to do the entire length of 400 West, which allows us to have a quantity of scale. Prices can go down. We can get contractors who do these really large projects instead of smaller ones. And frankly, the road won't last. We can't keep pushing. We can't do the north half and push the south half another half of a year because they're really in terrible shape. And then Heidi said, yeah, but wait, it's budgeted, but we're going to have to bond. We won't have any new water projects this year. We really have to look at what our finances are. And there are options, but we wanted to look at what all the options were and not just how to pay for it options. So I did an evaluation of the project, obviously with Public Works and everybody else, and we looked at what our options were. So we need the waterline replacement because of the pipe and the material, but it's not currently experiencing any failures. This water line's not breaking. Lacey Way broke and broke and broke and broke and broke. We don't have any problems here. Last summer, we made a connection for the Wasatch containers across the street, and they teed into this water line with a valve for a new sprinkler fire line. Thanks, John. he's helping. And there weren't any problems at all. So we definitely need a street reconstruction. And the streets really need to be redone this summer. We just really can't keep pushing. The reason that's so important is not just drivability, but right now, it's the top portion of the asphalt that's failing. And the longer we wait, the greater risk we're going to have of subsurface failures. So I decided it would be a good idea to revisit the geotechnical studies. So what had happened here is a standard geotech had been done, and that geotech report, the first one, was a really standard pavement design. They go out, they do some cores, they check the kind of material that the soil is below. They do truck counts, they do vehicle counts, and they come back with a pavement design. It didn't really differ from what's already there. And it didn't really talk about why the road looks like it does. And so when I went to get this plan originally designed, I read the geotech report and said, if we rebuild exactly what we had before and don't know why it happened, well, it's just going to happen again. So I had another geotech report done. And I tasked them to address the cause of the failure. And these aren't terribly expensive. It was like $1,500. On a $5 million project, it's worth every penny to know what we're doing. So they took us a bunch of additional cores and focused more specifically on what happened to the asphalt and what kind of conditions we had. And what they found was that the upper layer and the bottom layer have the term they use is debonded. So the top 4.5 inches of asphalt is not stuck to the bottom layer of asphalt, and so it's moving. And so the asphalt is crumbling because it can't do that. So that's the technical description, by the way. So they also gave us a couple of different design options. One was a reconstruct. They actually gave us three. A couple different kinds of reconstructs and the option of doing a mill and overlay, which is commonly called a mill and fill. So these are kinds of the pros and cons that we were looking at that we discussed as staff. So a street reconstruction, kind of the pros are that we can replace the waterline right now. Because we'll be cutting apart the road, we can run all kinds of water lines everywhere because we'll have new asphalt all across it. We're doing full depth with the treated base course, which is, of course, a pro because then we're correcting anything that might be happening underneath. The estimated life is 25 years. So that's definitely a pro. And we can use some impact fees because we're increasing the capacity of the road to carry these heavy trucks. So the cons are there's been discussion and some of the general plan and the master plan, and I have the wrong plan name, but there's been discussion of putting a side path along 400 West for pedestrian or bicyclist access. That allows movement in between 1100 North and Center Street safely, and there really isn't that right now. There's a really long construction time. We have some real issues with this particular project all in one season. They're going to have to start like in April in order to get pavement in by November, October. And it's a very high cost, $5 million. So if you look at a mill and overlay option, the pros of that are we have a much shorter construction time. We have more design flexibility, and I'll kind of explain that, but let me finish the list. We avoid the delays with a railroad crossing because we don't have to bore the railroad, and the railroad company never gives us permits ever in a timely manner. 1100 North is a great example. Getting that signal arm out of the way took like 6 years. The estimated life I also put in the pro column because it's 15 years. So it's not a quick, cheap fix. It's a quick fix that will last a long time, and it's a much lower cost. So the cons of this are we're delaying the replacement of the water line. And I cannot overstate the importance of saying we don't know when that water line isn't gonna wanna live anymore. We cannot use impact fees, and there is a risk of reflective cracking. So what we do is we mill off 4.5 inches of the road, and then we cut out and repair any bottom sections that have failure, that have gone through, and then we pave that section. It's called a level course. You pave it even with the remaining asphalt, and we know exactly how far down we need to go. We know exactly what layer we need to get to, and then we patch those sections, and then we pave over the whole road, and it looks like a brand new road top to bottom. But if there are cracks below, you can have some reflective cracking. And so the geotech report very clearly stated we really needed to use a really high quality admixture design, not a standard asphalt. So why is this an option with our water line? You never, ever build a new road over an AC pipe or an old cast iron water pipe in this city. We have never done it. I would never recommend doing it, but we've got some really unique situations here. The water line's not under the asphalt. It's right behind the curb. The asphalt, it's right behind the curb though, really close. The asphalt failure isn't happening because we have problems with the subsurface. We don't have failures because we have springs or we have soft soils or we have any kind of problem that needs a structural repair. It's just debonded. So the lower surface will only require a spot repair, so we can, in fact, leave that asphalt in place and pave over it. And that gives us the benefit of that increased flexibility for the future. And the way that we have that is this is an incredibly wide road, and we need a very wide road in this area. These are big trucks. But what we can do in the future, if it is decided that now is the time to put that path in, what we can do is we can move the curb in far enough to put the side path in on the east side of the road. What happens then is we are not purchasing right-of-way. We're not going outside. We're going inside the road. And there's plenty of right-of-way for those trucks to still make the turns with slightly smaller lanes and put in at least an 8-foot side path. That also allows us to move the curb in, install a new water line behind the one that's already there, make the connections back across, and not cut the road. So let's say in 4 years or 3 years, it's time to do the water line, we're not cutting this road to get to it. If it weren't for these very unique situations, we would never recommend this. So the recommendations we're making are that we do the entire length of 400 West. We still get the quantity of scale. This road can't go another winter. It's just terrible. I invite you to go drive it if you want an adventurous day on the trails. We're only going to replace the waterline crossings. These are at 100 North, 200 North, and 900 North. The purpose of this is that when we replace the waterline, these are also AC. We cannot connect a new waterline to an old AC pipe and then connect that, replace those when we do those roads and leave that old section in. So we'll do those crossings and we'll patch them, just like we will soft spots. We'll do that layer course or that patch. We'll evaluate the connections at Center and 1100 North. Those locations may or may not need to be replaced as well as part of this, but where they are in those roads and not in this road, we're not sure that they'll need to be done. And then we'll do a mill and overlay. We will mill 4.5 inches to the debonded layer. That is what all of our cores told us. And so we're really confident that that's the depth we need to go to. We'll do soft spot repair. We're then going to do a 3-inch overlay with standard HMA. And then we're going to do 1.5 inches of what's called stone matrix asphalt. Stone matrix asphalt is tremendously expensive. And it's really, really good stuff. It is the correct application for this location. But we only need 1.5 inches of it. There's been a bunch of research. UDOT uses this all the time. They used it on 1100 North. When they built that freeway on-ramp, off-ramp, I watched them cut the road for a storm drain and then patch it. And then they did a water line and then they patched it. And then they did another section of storm. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? Why do you keep patching everything? And then they covered it with SMA. And zero of those trenches have any reflective cracking. This is designed to do exactly what we're doing, which is create a top surface layer that is not subject or not as sensitive to seams and joints underneath. And it's about $155 a ton when standard asphalt's, you know, maybe two-thirds or 60% of that, which is why we're only doing an inch and a half and not the full 4.5. There is no benefit from 4.5. The extra money doesn't get us anything. So this is the cost. And I'm comparing the full reconstruction based on our estimated prices to the mill and overlay. The full reconstruction was estimated to be $2.95 million for street and $2.12 million for water. Please note that that water, I do not believe, based on the bid that we got, is anywhere realistic. I think the bid would come in much higher. The mill and overlay, the total amounts to streets would be $1.55 million, and I'm estimating about $250,000 for water. That number may be significantly higher or lower. I'm sorry, significantly lower, but not higher. My intent was to allow Heidi to do a budget with a not to exceed, because I do not know if we're looking at connections on the north or the south. This does not replace the water line. This will replace the crossings and the connections to the old water lines. And it's not a terribly small number, but this is a wide road. We're running quite a bit of pipe, and we're tying on both ends to an AC pipe. So my preference is to make sure we have the money in the event we need to go back another 20 or 30 feet to a good section of pipe on those adjacent streets. We know the one on 400 North we can connect to, but I haven't touched the one on 100 North recently, so we're being a little cautious. The estimated life expectancy for a full reconstruction is 25 years. The estimated life expectancy for half the cost in the street is 15 years. So I'm very confident that the cost-benefit ratio is a really good fit. And that's all I've got. What we're hoping is that you will support our recommendation that we kind of change the scope of this project and that we do what we think will be a really needed improvement that will last a really long time and really honestly give us more flexibility in the future instead of taking away our options. Do you have questions about this?
Do we know why the two surfaces debonded?
So I went back to the geotech report to see what they thought. So there are a bunch of theories. And the theory in this is that they think that there was a chemical reaction in between the aggregate and basically the petroleum products. And really what's happened over my work life is that they keep changing these mixes. Well, we'll make them leaner and they'll be less expensive and then we'll make them richer and then we'll do this. And they've kind of swung back to the middle. There's an association very active in Utah that works really hard on these design mixes. Instead of all of the different plants having 10 or 12 different mixes, they're now each producing like two or three, and they're all the same. And it's to prevent these kinds of unknown things from recurring.
So it was just like a naturally occurring chemical reaction between the products?
Yep. Something.
So it would, are there a lot of roads, not just in North Salt Lake, but a lot of roads who were built around those times where they were using the same products and are also having a debonding problem?
So debonding, I don't know. What I do know is the unraveling on the joints that you can visually see was systemic during the same time those streets were paved. Thank you. Yeah.
I have a quick question. Again, it might be for my benefit only, but just so I understand, I know we won't have to mill under the tracks with this proposal, but is there any financial onus with Union Pacific when we have to take such a large expense just to get around their tracks?
So this particular road doesn't cross the tracks. So the tracks that are on this road is a spur line, and the boring in this area, let me see if I can find the picture. The boring in this area is for our water line. So can you see this little spur line industrial leads? These are actually owned by a company called the Oregon Short Line, which sounds like a monopoly company to me. But what they're doing is, in order for us to cross those tracks, we have to bore. So all utilities do. So they give us a permit, we do the bore, but they don't They don't help us pay for it because the railroads were here first. The railroads have priority, and anything we do that impacts them, we have to bear the brunt of.
Okay. And I have to just give a quick kudos. I actually had Woods Cross Community Council meeting right before this, and we just approved budget for the land trust, large budget we've been working on for a long time. And Woods Cross is one of the only schools that continually runs in the black. Many run in the red by millions also. And it is due to a very conscientious principal and staff that are just looking outside of the box and continually trying to find ways to maximize the dollar because they value the tax dollars, the land trust dollars. And I feel like it's the same way here. So kudos to all of the members of the staff that have worked so hard on this. It's something that I think taxpayers don't hear enough of, is how hard you guys work to stay in budget. So kudos to everyone who worked on this. That is a huge win to think of that. And then last question, maybe Heidi, maybe you directed, but so with this new proposed quarter of the price, is that then doable in our budget without bonding, something that we are prepared to be able to work through without having to take a loan?
It's my understanding this is part of a budget amendment coming up, or did I get that wrong?
So my understanding was that we had enough money for this project, but then we wouldn't have money for more projects.
That's absolutely correct. And when I give the financial report, I can go into that in a little bit more detail. But as we were looking at the revenues that were going to support this project that have been projected for this two-year period that we were thinking we were going to be constructing, they just didn't come in. We had reserves, but essentially doing the project with the water line would have used all of the reserves, meaning we wouldn't have been able to do any of those great projects that Karen talked about earlier. I mean, we put a whole year on hold of our other water line projects. Mm-hmm. And so we went back and looked at the scope of the project, and yeah, Karen had a great solution. So
this new scope and solution is within doable budget then?
So we had enough money to do what was already budgeted, but then CFP for fiscal year 25 would have been nothing. So what we're trying to do is free up those funds and still correct the problem.
And I think we also had a desire to show this project to the council. We don't want to make this kind of a decision without the city council understanding what we're doing. And so we just wanted you to know there's a fundamental change to what we're doing on 400 West. When we go out to bid, you'll have a chance to approve that. So we're not asking you to approve it tonight, but we definitely wanted to share this with you so that you would have some understanding that the project has really changed from what we've discussed in the past. So, and I think we got that pretty clearly.
Karen?
Yes.
So I always like to use analogies. In my world, let's say I've got an old roof. Mm-hmm. They don't catastrophically fail. They just drive you crazy enough to, you know, you get tired of repairing them, and so at some point you replace them. Is this asbestos concrete pipe, can it be repaired, or does it just catastrophically fail?
When it goes, it catastrophically fails. Okay. Now, there's likely going to be a break here and a break there, and then another problem that needs to be repaired, and we'll have some amount of warning, we think. We just want to
make right
it
now
clear.
It's not failing
we
at all.
We have no problems right now.
Okay.
But it's coming. I've got to stop saying things like that.
Yeah. You should be more optimistic.
it is coming at some point. We know that the AC pipe does not have a 100-year lifespan. We know that it will not last forever. Nothing will last forever, but we do know the problems. For example, cast iron pipe, people understand very clearly. It becomes, it rusts, and then it becomes thin, and then you start springing leaks, and then, you know, you get the pipe that you touch with your hand and falls apart kind of thing. ACs kind of a good explanation would be really old elastic, although the pipe's not stretchy, but you know how really old elastic, all of a sudden it just becomes brittle and falls apart? That's what happens to this pipe. Yeah. So it's not really repairable, it's not really treatable. The bad news is it is all over the industrial manufacturing zone. The good news is that more current versions, PVC pipe and HDPE pipe, do not have those known kinds of problems. And we're obviously no longer using this, so.
Is lining an option at all?
So there have been a couple of different things that they have done or that they've tried to do. One of them is called pipe bursting, where they drag something through the pipe to replace it with the same size pipe. We typically do pipe lining on things like storm drain. With water lines where it's all pressurized and it's all solid, the real correct thing to do here is to replace the pipe completely. With all of the connections and all the services and all of the T's and the fire hydrants and the valves, what we really need to do is just replace the pipe. And with all things, all infrastructure has to be replaced eventually. So when it reaches the end of its life, it's kind of like a car, for an analogy for our mayor. If you buy a car and you drive it 100,000 miles and you change the oil and you do whatever, it's a good investment. If your car's got 350,000 miles and needs a new wiring harness and a new engine, you probably don't want to do that.
Okay. Well, I think this is a great solution and good job.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Next item is monthly financial report from Heidi.
Thank you, Mayor. So in the packet, there's a memo that references the potential budget amendment at the next city council meeting. And part of it would be to take into account restructuring this project, as well as some of our revenues. We've been talking quite a bit about impact fee trends and collections. This is part of the reason why that project was so untenable for us at the time. If you take a look at that red line, that's our water impact fee revenues. So we collected $3 million in revenues between fiscal year 2020 and fiscal year 2022. Fiscal year 2023, we've collected $50,000. We're doing slightly better this year, but this really impacts our ability to stay on our capital facilities plan and sometimes makes it so that we have to, you know, rethink projects and come up with new strategies. So at the point that we were looking at putting 400 West out to bid, the option would be we can use everything we have in reserves from those high years and do the water line, but have nothing for future projects until the revenues pick up again. And you can see the trend. We're expecting an uptick, and that is the good news of this graph, is that in fiscal year 25, we anticipate to see an upward trend again for a couple of years. But that we just needed to take a look at, to back up, that we were going to expend everything that we had in reserves from those high collection years, or that we would have to go out and borrow at, you know, high interest rates right now. And we really didn't want to do that. The good news is our interest revenue that's coming in to the city at this point in time is kind of inverse of this. Is you'll see our revenues are, for interest are really peaking at this point in time and more than we've ever seen. So not an exact offset, but in some of the funds, it really, if they have a high enough fund balance, it's actually making up for some of those lost collections. So it's really interesting to watch that. So at the budget amendment at the next city council meeting, we'll look at reducing the projected impact fee revenues for this current fiscal year, but increasing the projected interest revenues that are coming in. Related to that, and that was noted in the memo, was a reallocation of construction funds from PTIF. related to the interest earnings. It's called arbitrage. When you borrow money, you're not allowed to earn more than you've paid to borrow. You need to rebate that back to the federal government. What you can do instead is invest them into state and local government securities, which is a, you know, a federal treasury tool that makes it so that we get to keep a larger portion of that interest rather than having to pay it back. And so we have simply just moved from one savings account or interest-bearing account to another type of interest-bearing account that doesn't have the same type of rules. But if you take a look at the actual financial report and look at for Fund 32, you'll see we are projected to collect more revenue in interest than we're actually paying on the debt for the projects. And so it's not what debt was intended to do, that you're not supposed to have, you know, windfall earnings on interest. And so we have remedied that so that we have, you know, are following all the proper IRS guidance on that. So were there any questions on the financial report or on the chart? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's take a break and we'll reconvene for our regular session in 7 minutes.